Neoliberal economic policies and poverty reduction. Neoliberal economic policies run contrary to measures essential for substantial and sustained poverty reduction. Many of the policy pathways underlined in the Washington Consensus have contributed to dampening poverty reduction in the Asia-Pacific region. For example, fiscal discipline is an essential feature of neoliberal economic policies. This implies reducing the fiscal deficit in the government budget as far as possible, and hence cuts public investments. Cuts in public investments means that governments may not be able to invest adequately on public infrastructure, such as roads, electricity, water supply and sanitation, or in public services, such as education and health, provide adequate social support to people living in poverty, or provide them with subsidized or cost-free access to credit, agricultural inputs, electricity, land and livestock. Some economists have argued that public investment for reallocating resources towards poverty reduction could in fact propel economic growth, and should not be forsaken in order to curtail fiscal deficit. McKinley, 2004. Similarly, protection of private property implies that the government will not be able to adopt redistributive measures, such as land reforms, which make available land to the tiller or limit speculative investments in property. Trade liberalization has removed restrictions on imports and exports. Countries that developed their export capacities benefited from trade liberalization through the ensuing export boom. The gains accrued disproportionately to larger enterprises and farmers because small enterprises, including small farmers, did not have the resources to take advantage of an increase in export demand and lacked policy support to do so. McKinley, 2004. Also, the positive impact on economic growth could not always be sustained. For example, in countries such as Nepal, whose export earnings come from a narrow range of products like garments, pashminas, and carpets, saw the benefits accruing to a small section of the urban population. However, the surge in imports offset the gains through exports and, page 9, resulted in a trade deficit. At the same time, rice farmers suffered losses because of cheap import of rice. McKinley, 2004. Another consequence of the removal of tariffs, duties, and taxes related to trade has been reduction in public revenue. This further affects government's capacity/ability to invest in social sectors and in poverty reduction measures. Financial liberalization makes countries vulnerable to crises resulting from speculative dealings in capital and capital flights out of the country. In addition to its contribution to economic destabilization, financial liberalization has in many countries also resulted in a shrinking of financial services available to small-scale producers and to low-income groups. Having to compete with private international and national banks, public sector banks have had to pull back from subsidized credit to small-scale producers and subsistence loans to low-income groups. In countries such as India, the combination of retraction of input subsidies and affordable credit and volatility of product prices have driven hundreds of thousands of households into debt and desperation even before the financial and economic crises of 2008. Economic growth in many Asia-Pacific countries in the years of neoliberal globalization was not accompanied by a comparable growth in employment. For every 1% of GDP growth, employment grew only by 0.4%. Kibbe et al., 2009. This was because much of the growth was in sectors that were not labor-intensive, and also because competition drove many labor-intensive sectors to adopt labor-displacing technologies. As a consequence, people displaced from agriculture could not be accommodated in other sectors, and a large number of young people entering the labor force were left without suitable employment opportunities. Wages, especially in the informal sector of the economy, remained suppressed because of the large pool of unemployed people. The economic boom made only a limited contribution to human development. Economic growth through the path of neoliberal globalization, while making only a modest reduction in poverty since 1990, has accentuated inequalities within many countries of the Asia-Pacific region. For example, between 1993 to 2004, over 0.5, the Gini coefficient of income inequality increased from 0.41 to 0.47 in China, 0.33 to 0.37 in India, and 0.34 to 0.40 in Indonesia. ADB, 2008. Low-income groups in the Asia-Pacific region were thus extremely vulnerable to external shocks. Following the 2008 crises, the demand for goods fell in the US and Europe. This directly affected those working in the export manufacturing and services sectors, and many more whose livelihoods depended on servicing the export sector and its workers also lost their jobs. For example, in Cambodia, where 70% of the exports consisted of garments, 18% of the total workforce in the sector was laid off during 2008 September 2009 April. Those in casual employment found fewer days of work. For example, in Vietnam, workers reported a 30 to 50% decline in wage earnings between 2008 and early 2009. Food prices were skyrocketing since the food crisis of 2007. Low-income households had to resort to reductions in investments and consumption detrimental to health and well-being both in the short and long run. Hibbert et al., 2009. Strategies for poverty reduction promoted or adopted by governments have tended to make the poor themselves responsible for finding a way out of their poverty. For example, microcredit programs expected to make entrepreneurs out of those living in. Page 10. Dire poverty and to compete in the global market. Cash support programs for the poor now come attached with conditions of good behavior, including attending antenatal care or having institutional deliveries, immunizing their children, or ensuring that they go to school. The obstacles that prevented the poor from adopting these behaviors in the first place are rarely acknowledged. Hazturk, 2011.